The issue of the Confederate battle flag, not the national flag of the Confederacy, but the Confederate battle flag that has been raised and maybe lowered in the state of South Carolina is once again on the docket as they, in the legislature there, are deliberating this very topic. Fox News Radio's Eben Brown reports now. He's in Miami at the Southern Bureau for Fox News. Good morning, Eben.
Good morning.
You've seen where that flag flies there on the State House in Columbia, South Carolina. It's gone from the Senate to the House in the Palmetto State. What's the possible outcome there today?
Well, we know that yesterday in the Senate voted on their final vote 36-3 to remove that flag from the Capitol grounds and to have it put in a museum. Now today, I should say, the vote goes to the House, and the House, which is the lower chamber, obviously, right, of the state legislature there in South Carolina. The House of Representatives will probably have their discussions and their debates today. Could they vote on it today? Surely they could. Will they get a final vote in today? We don't know. They may wait until tomorrow to get that done. But we would think that perhaps, certainly by the end of the week, we would have the legal resolution passing two-thirds majority of both houses to move that flag off of that flagpole at the Confederate Memorial on the State House grounds and to move it to the museum in South Carolina, the State Museum. So, we would at least see the legal paperwork done, and when the actual moving date is, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, they actually call that there the Room of Confederate Relics. It seems like it may be, for many who follow this issue, it may be aptly named. Eben Brown reporting this morning, Fox News Radio. Eben, thanks for joining us. Have a good morning.
You're welcome. Take care.
So that's where things stand with the flag issue. But what about the other one that people aren't talking about as much, which is the gun issue? What if people in that church in the state of South Carolina, with the way their law stands, had the option of being armed? It varies from state to state, and of course it does here in the state of Michigan as well. To discuss this morning, Edwin Walker, he's an attorney, very, very well versed in the Texas Shield laws, and also a gun law expert and defender of the Second Amendment. Good morning, Edwin.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for being on the program here. Well, there's been, we had discussion, Edwin, here recently in Michigan with a Catholic priest who was teaching CPL classes at his parish in Ann Arbor, of all places, and he actually had put out with a written homily to parishioners saying, look, you need to defend yourselves, and there's nothing unbiblical about that. And he basically got the kibosh from the bishop on that, who said it wasn't appropriate, but some would disagree. There is a back and forth on this issue. Where do you stand on this?
Well, I think that this most unfortunate tragedy in South Carolina has pointed out that regardless of how many laws or signs or policies that exist in society, that somebody who is determined to commit the ultimate crime, which is murder, and somebody who's determined to do that is not going to be dissuaded by a law, sign, or policy. And so, therefore, it's up to each individual to make sure that they have the means to protect them, to protect themselves and others around them, which is your most basic human right, the right of self-preservation.
So churches that, and we, you know, there was an earlier, I'm sure you would well remember, the case with the off-duty law enforcement officer basically stopping a massacre at one church in, I think it was Colorado, by going in, by having somebody armed. There's a tug-of-war on this. You want to think that, you know, literally the better angels of our nature would take over, and in a place of worship, you would never have to worry about that, but already history and events tell us otherwise. So what is the answer besides open carry, which seems to really be kind of a flashpoint thing? Is having CPL and having churches be open to that, is that the easy answer, or is there more to it than that?
Well, as you've seen, if somebody's already made the decision to not respect the sanctity of human life, they're not going to respect people's right to people's ability to worship in private. And so, you know, churches have become what we call soft targets, just like schools have. And the thing about it is a lot of churches say, well, we'll have security guards and we'll have security personnel.
Right.
But unfortunately, the historical tradition of churches has been to be open open to large groups, open to small groups, and this is exactly the case in South Carolina, where it wasn't a large group, it was a small Bible study group, and a lot of churches just simply cannot afford to have professional security at all times that people meet at the churches. And so, again, it falls on the people's responsibility, and you know, people have a right to defend themselves and to feel safe in their own home. And, you know, arguably a church is just as sacred as your home is. And you should have the ability to feel safe and to defend yourself in a church as well.
And yet, you know, if you do that, there'll be, if the people who push that side of it, there'll be quite an outcry the opposite way. You would freely concede that, wouldn't you?
Well, yes, but they have to look at the real world. They can't ignore the real world. They don't like guns, but they have to realize that there are people out there who are not opposed to using a gun to commit a crime, and that whenever you come face to face with those individuals, why would you want to dictate by law that victim becomes a sitting duck and has no ability to defend themselves? I don't think that we want to live in a society where the law creates potential victims.
Texas's state admiral that assumes permission unless it's explicitly not given or pulled away, and other states like South Carolina, are it's assumed that the answer is no unless they overrule that and say we permit, right?
That is correct. And Texas has a very strong congregational church tradition, which means that most churches, even if they're part of large organizations like the Southern Baptist Convention, are governed by their own individual congregations. And most congregations do appreciate firearms.
So but I guess you would also concede that maybe then that mindset for Texas, while Texans would say, maybe speak to that with pride, look, it works here, and I mean, Texans usually feel pretty good about a lot of things, and not shy about saying that, but that other states might still, even after this incident, would say, well, that's maybe, Edwin, that's just for us here in fill in the blank, that's just a bridge too far. I mean, you could see that. It's a slow road, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and you know, they have the ability to make those decisions, and those decisions are made by the folks who run each individual church. If a parishioner doesn't feel safe at that church, obviously they have the ability to go to a different church or to persuade their hierarchy that, look, your policy, if there's a deranged lunatic who has a gun that wants to come in here and wants to kill us because we're white, we're black, we're Catholic, we're Protestant, we're Jewish, we're Muslim, whatever reason, if they are motivated by evil, they're not going to be stopped by your policy. They're not going to be stopped by your sign.
Right.
And the only thing that we can do is have the ability to defend ourselves.
Edwin, before we let you go, again, being a Second Amendment specialist attorney here, after the shootings and all the coming together we saw in the community, normally we would see a ton of conversation here, a ton of it, nationally, about gun laws and adding more, et cetera. A lot there, and there was some of that, but there was so much talk over the Confederate battle flag. Did that surprise you that there was not, did that take away a lot of the attention from what normally would have been the pile on to the gun issue?
I tell you what, I don't know that anybody really saw that coming. And of course, that only surfaced after the photos of that person,
right,
surfaced with him, you know, posing with a Confederate battle flag. And so I really do think that that's, you know, it's very interesting. But, you know, there's a tradition in our country of clinging to issues of symbolism over substance. And, you know, I think that, you know, the Confederate battle flag that has taken its own path, but, you know, we are seeing, I tell you what, I have seen just anecdotally in the media more pro, you know, guns in church stories than anti guns in church stories, because, you know, all you got to do is look at South Carolina. And unfortunately, there's an example of, you know, no amount of policies, no amount of laws were able to keep this tragedy from happening.
Right.
However, a singular person who would have had a handgun had the potential to stop that and stop the perhaps mitigate the number of lives that were lost in that unfortunate situation.
Edwin Walker, attorney in Texas, shield law expert, gun law expert, represents defendants in Second Amendment cases, joining us this morning. Edwin, appreciate your expertise on this and your taken viewpoint. Have a wonderful day.
Well, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.